Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
All right, good morning, and it's a pleasure to come back and be able to share a message with you all. We're going to continue our journey on the parables, and now we're transitioning from the parables of the exemplary behaviour into the parables of wisdom. So we're going to be looking today at the parable of the wise and foolish builder. And that's a parable that's found actually in two of the Gospels. So if you want to put your hand into Luke 6:46, we will be flicking there later on. But we're actually going to have a look at the parables starting in the chapter in the book of Matthew, starting in chapter 7:24. For us to get a full understanding of this parable, it's really important that we understand the context in which it was written in. And so you need to travel a little bit further back in your Bibles. And if you have them with there, turn to Matthew chapter 5. And here we see that Jesus has finally got his 12 disciples together. He started to teach them in the synagogue. He's also started to do a number of healing miracles. And by now the fame of Jesus is spreading and people are getting to know who this man is. And they're inquisitive, they're curious, and they want to know and be around him. And so what we see in chapter 5 is that a crowd starts to form. And Jesus has this crowd and these disciples, and he sits at a mountainside and begins to teach them. It's one of the first times we see Jesus publicly teaching the public or the crowd. Up until this point, a lot of his teaching has been in synagogues, in private places, but now we see him open and exposed with this crowd around him. Now, this parable, this section of passage of Scripture is actually quite important. It's often referred to as a Sermon on the Mount, and it's one of the largest passages of Scripture where we see Jesus directly teaching. For those of you who have what they call the red-letter Bible, it's probably the largest swab of red letters that you're going to see in a row. And here we see Jesus take the disciples and a crowd on a journey of faith where they've learned about law and they've learned about obligation, and slowly but surely transitioning them into a place of relationship and love. He hits some pretty hard topics in this teaching, and he talks about everything from adultery, divorce, murder, to judging people. But then he also starts to delve into moving into this relationship from what is seen to what is unseen. And it's in this passage of Scripture that he teaches us how to pray, and he gives us the Our Father. He also covers things like fasting and not doing things so that the people can see, but doing something that is because we want to do it for God. And it starts to transition this crowd and these people into a place of, why do you do what you do? Is it because it's something to show other people? Is it public declaration, or is it motivated by the intention of your heart and a love for Jesus? And so at the conclusion of this sermon is where we get the parable of the wise and foolish builders. And I love it because it's a little bit of the so what. Jesus has spent all this time teaching them, and it comes to a point where he's about to close. And it's really a summary of, what will you do with what you've heard? Was it just a nice teaching? Was it just something that was good to come and listen to? Or are you actually going to do something about what you hear? Because that is the message that Jesus brought. Don't just go into the synagogue and hear my word, but make it applicable to our lives and make it something that we can do. So if you've got your Bibles open, we're just going to read from Matthew 7:24. Therefore, everybody who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had the foundations on a rock. But everyone who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against his house, and it fell with a great crash. So here we have Jesus publicly giving a challenge, wrapped up in a beautiful story and a parable. And he introduces this concept, or keeps this concept going, of a house and its foundation. The house is often referred to in Scripture as us. It's our lives. And it becomes this dichotomy, if you like, about the seen and the unseen. Often you see the house, but you don't see the foundation. So when he's talked through the Sermon on the Mount and he's talked about fasting, it's what is seen versus what is unseen. And there's really a question that he's asking about, what are you investing in? Are you investing in a house, or are you investing in a foundations? And what's the difference? Why bother doing either? And so I don't know too much about building. In fact, I know nothing. So I trawled a couple of websites to have a look at what builders think about foundations and houses. And I found this quote, which I found really interesting for our parable. A proper foundation does more than just hold a house above the ground. It keeps the moisture out, it insulates it from the cold, and it resists the movement of the earth around it. And one more thing, it should last forever. Without a good foundation, your house is sunk. And when I read that and thought about this whole concept of putting down a deep foundation, it really challenges us that the strength of our house, or the strength of who we are, is going to be on the strength of that foundation. And the one thing I do know about houses is that when many of my friends have purchased houses, they've come to tell us what a great house they found. It's never been because of the foundation that they've bought their house. But I equally know many people who have walked away from their dream home because the builder's report has said that there were issues with the foundation structurally, it wasn't sound. So really, the parable begins to talk to us then about an assurity. And it's one thing that I probably didn't like about the parable. And it says when the rains came down and the floods rose and the winds beat. It doesn't say if. The foolish and the wise builders both had a house. And I don't think that you would have been able to tell the difference between the houses till the rains came. And I think what it tells us is there's an assurance that as Christians, we're going to go through times of testing and times of trouble. And it is during those times that our foundation is going to be tested and, if you like, exposed. And so when I think about testing and trials, something else comes to mind. It came to both the foolish and the wise. It's not because they did anything good or bad. Testing is just part of life. It's what happens to us as part of our Christian journey. And so it made me think about Job. Job is a book I had a lot of trouble reading when I was growing up because I felt it was quite depressing. I felt sorry for this man that was apparently loved by God but went through all these terrible things. But God really gave me fresh revelation about the story of Job and what it was trying to tell us. So if you have your Bible with you, we're just going to have a quick look at Job. And I guess from the time the book starts, it opens with a really important line, and that it says that Job was a man that was blameless in the sight of God. He shunned evil and feared the Lord. And so when you have a look at verse 8, it says that the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, he is upright, and he's a man who fears God and shuns evil." Does Job fear God for nothing? And he says, "Have you not put a hedge around him? Have you not protected his household and blessed everything he has, so that his flocks and herds have spread throughout the land? But if you stretch out your hand and you strike everything that he has, surely he will curse you to your face." But the Lord is so sure of Job and his love for him, he says to Satan, "Very well, then everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself you may not leave a finger." And so for the next 42 chapters, you see poor Job go through periodic tests and trials, losing everything he has, from wealth to family, to finally his own health, where he's sitting in sores. But all through this time, what you do see is a dialogue between God and Job. Even though things get hard, and it's definite that Job has an attitude that sometimes gets the better of him and he's angry with God, he never once turns away and throws it in. And so when I look at that and I consider the parable that we're looking at about the wise and foolish builders, you can see that Job was tested from every single side. There was not one element of his life that was left untouched. But God allowed it because he knew that he was faithful. And it wasn't dependent on the fact that things were going well for Job. He loved God regardless. His own friends even turn on him and do what some of us sometimes do and try to look for reasons why it happened. What did you do wrong, Job? Maybe you're not as righteous as you think, Job, that these things have befallen you. But in the end, in chapter 42, we see the mercy of God, and God who's a restorer. And he restores everything plus more that Job has lost, because Job's house stood the test of time. He built on a solid foundation. And in the closing verses in 42:12, it says, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He has 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He has 7 sons and 3 children." And Job was able to give both his daughters and sons an inheritance. And after this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children right to the 4th generation. And he also died in 4 years. So this was a man who went through tests and trials, not because of anything he had done wrong. He was blameless. And I think that's a word for some of us. Some of us feel like we've been pummeled from every single side, and we're searching and looking at what is it that we've done that has brought this upon ourselves. Sometimes it's just a test. Sometimes we look for things that aren't there. We look for people to blame or reasons. But the truth is, all it is exposing your foundation. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because what you do know when you go through trials is that you're surviving them. Yes, your house might be a little bit battered and it might be a little bit bruised, but structurally, there's no damage. It's still good and it can all be rebuilt. And in Corinthians 1, 10, 13, the word tells us that God will never test us beyond what we can bear, and through every trial and temptation that there is a way out. And if that's you today, you really need just to hang on to that word and to believe that God has a way out for you and that your house is built on a strong foundation, even though you might feel battered and bruised from every side. But there's another part to this story, and that's the foolish builder, the one who spent more time investing in his house than on a foundation. And really for me, that's about someone who's invested everything they have in their career, their success, their finances. Now, I know God wants us to have all those things, but is it coming at the expense of your foundation? What is it that's keeping you above the ground? And it makes me come back to a story, and one that I really enjoy, which is the story of Saul. And the story of Saul is found in 1 Samuel. And I think Saul gets a pretty bad rap. We all remember him, and he's usually preached about because of what he's done wrong. Saul was a guy who fell from grace, if you like, and is the reason that David is crowned as king over Israel. But the truth is that Saul didn't start out that way. He started out with a love for God. He started out with a humility where he understood that he was the smallest of the clan of the tribe of Benjamin. And who was he? But God chose him. And we see Samuel come and anoint him. And actually, he was a pretty good king, and he had your kingship over Israel for 42 years. So the man has to have done something right. But what we do see is that over time, he forgets what his foundation was. He begins to think that he can make better decisions than the ones God can make. And he begins to think that he can live half a life. Half a life God's way and half a life of mine. And if you have your Bibles open and you want to flick around to Samuel, 1 Samuel 15... I think there's a really important point which summarises the story of Saul. Samuel decides to talk to Saul and he says, "Stop. Let me tell you what the Lord has said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul says. Samuel says, "Although you were once a small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you as king, and he sent you on a mission saying, 'Go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Make war on them and wipe them out. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the Lord's sight?'" But Saul replies, "But I did do the mission that God assigned to me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and I brought back their king. But the soldiers took the plunder, took the sheep and the cattle and the plunder and sacrificed it to the Lord the God." And Samuel replied, "Does not our Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as in obeying the voice of God? To obey is better than to sacrifice. To heed is better than the fat of the ram. For your rebellion is like a sin, and the arrogance is like evil of idolatry. And because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." For me, it's a little bit of a fall from grace. It's a reminder that we need to keep reinforcing our foundation. It's easy for us to sometimes believe that the foundation we set ourselves 20 years ago is still relevant today. But really what this word tells us is we continually need to keep reinforcing our own foundations. We need to keep working on what we believe and why we believe it. If you go back to the original parable, it is really a story about obedience. Will you hear my word and obey? And the more you obey the word of Christ, the more you put it into practice, the stronger your foundation becomes. So while that might be great for Job and for Samuel and Saul, what does it mean for us? Well, the truth is that the word of God in its entirety, Jesus in his parable gives us two choices. We can be wise or foolish. What he tells us though, and the story of Saul tells us, we can't be both. We can't choose to apply some words, but then not choose to apply others. And so it sent me on a journey searching through some of the words of God. What are some of the things that we might struggle with believing? For some of us, it is about keeping the rules and regulations and following God. But for others, it's actually smaller scriptures that are really impactful, like John 10:10, which tells us that we have life and life abundantly. How are we applying that word in our life? How are we living that out? Or maybe the word that challenges you is in Acts, in chapter 2, where Peter quotes Joel and says that young men and women will prophesy, that they will have visions and dream dreams. How are we applying that word? You see, the whole story of the gospel is one of teach and release. Jesus taught the disciples, and in the very next chapters he releases them. Go and do what you saw me do. Go and heal. Go and preach. Go and bring the message. And after he does that to the disciples, he then also sends out another 72 to do exactly the same thing. But then what more confronting for us, I think, is at the very end of the Gospels, he does that for us. And at the end in Matthew 24, there's a passage of scripture referred to as the Great Commission. And he says, "You have all authority on heaven and in earth has been given to you. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, for surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." How are we living out that word in our lives today? Do we believe that the things that Jesus did are also for us? Have we got, you know, are we accepting of the gifts of the Spirit that Jesus has left for us? Or are these just words on a page for someone in another time, in another place? That choice is ours. And so for me, I really want to impress on you that the story of the wise and foolish builders hasn't changed. Just as it closed out a sermon and offered us a challenge about what we were going to do with what we heard, the same challenge is offered to us day in and day out. What will you do with what you hear? How will you put into practice the words of God? We're lucky we have full access to the Bible and excellent teachings. But the truth is, if we're never going to apply those words to our lives, we're exactly like the foolish builders. It will never be internalized. Our foundations will never be strong. So we have to make choices. Do we come to church every day, listen to a message and go, "That was good, hope somebody else heard it," and walk away? Or do we come with an open mind, open to being challenged by the word of God? You know, those scriptures that we know so well, and I think the parables have been, you know, the Good Samaritan, these are stories we've all heard before. But do we come looking for revelation? Do we come looking for what can we do about this word? What is it saying to me? How can I reinforce my foundation so it is exactly like that architect said, that it survives forever and stands the test of time? And the best time to reinforce your foundations are when things are good. But after every storm that we've been through, and you know, in insurance, what they do is they come out and they check a foundation before they decide on the repairs of the house. And so if you've been battered and you've gone through a few things, being in the middle of the year, it's a great time to stop and think, what is my foundation? What are some of those words that have been challenging me that I don't want to apply to my life? And we all have them. There are parts of the Bible and parts of Jesus where we can grab onto, but then there are the parts that we'd rather not read. They're the parts that Jesus has been knocking on us about, but we're just not right now. And so the challenge is for us to be wise, to make sure that our foundations will stand the test of time, to make sure that the bigger and stronger the foundation, we can build a really good, solid life for ourselves, and one that is impressive, but the investment of time is also on the foundation. I think one of Saul's problems was that he thought he had set his foundation once, and now he could just foster and worry about building him. But I think the message in this parable is to always keep an eye on both. Yes, build your life, do all those things. God wants us to be successful. He wants us to prosper. But he also wants to make sure what sits at the very core of who we are is him. You know, we sang a song, Jesus is the center of it all. My question is he? Or is he in some situations and not in others? Well, this is our opportunity just to regroup, recalibrate, come together and go, what area of my life maybe is that song not true? What area of my life do I struggle to sometimes find that place? And I think equally, it's a time when we can come together and realise that we will be tested. And it's not because we've done anything wrong or bad, it's just because it's life. And I think sometimes we're quick to judge when we see people go through. You know, hopefully we're not like Job's friends who turn on him and say, "What did you do? How did this happen?" But we're there to support and, if anything, reinforce and help them reinforce their foundation so they can rebuild when they're ready. I think for me, one of the pleasant things about the foolish builder is, yes, his house crashed, But for me, there's nothing stopping him rebuilding again. And so maybe there are mistakes. Maybe you sit here realising, I'm not sure about my own foundation. I know Jesus is a good idea, but I'm not entirely sure. You know, Malcolm's running Alpha, and what better way to find out about what builds a good foundation than to go and learn more and to sit under that teaching and find out what comprises a foundation? What are the foundational truths of what we believe in Jesus? And then it's coming back to the Sermon on the Mount. It's investing in that stuff with God that no one sees. It's the praying, it's the fasting, it's the reading your Bible when no one's looking, so that you know that foundation is deep. And then in a time of trouble and stress, it will be exposed and you will stand the test. So Father, in closing today, I just wanted to pray for each of us, Lord, that this is just a time. It's a time to hear Jesus' challenge to us in a fresh and a new way. What will we do with what we hear? And Father, I pray for each one here that we will just take a moment to examine where we are with God. Are we the people who struggle with some of the really good words, the blessings that you have for us? Or is it obedience? And Father, whichever it is, and wherever you're not the centre of our life, I just pray that we're able to bring it back into a right relationship. We'll be able to come back into that house and to put our foundation down deep. And for it to be all those things that the architect talks about, that it keeps your house above ground, that it prevents moisture coming in, that it will not move when the earth around it moves, and more importantly, that it will last forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.